Okay, hello everybody. My name is Jeff Thompson, and this is the ADR Hub podcast series. Today, I am so incredibly fortunate to have with me, speaking today, is a gentleman that is very well known in the conflict resolution field, Richard Rubenstein. Thank you for joining us today. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm glad to be with you.
Richard's from the Institute for Conflict Analysis and Resolution at George Mason University, and today we're going to talk about the first question I want to talk to you about is there was an article a few months back in the Times of Malta about how the Institute at George Mason created this collaborative effort in Malta. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, we're very excited about this because it's our first dual degree program, they call it. The students who go through this program get a degree from our institute and also from the University of Malta. And the program is taught in Malta. It's a master's degree. They call it an international master's degree. Okay. And it's a degree on conflict resolution and Mediterranean security. So our people do half the teaching, their people do half the teaching. We have students signed up from all over the world, just about every continent. And it's really exciting. Malta is a wonderful place to do conflict resolution work, you know, because it's in the southern Mediterranean and you can get into close contact with North Africans and people from the Middle East and people from the Balkans and Africa and all over the place.
Right.
So we're looking forward to doing this. In fact, the first courses are starting next week. It's a 13-month program.
Okay. And the program at George Mason, if I recall correctly, I think it's one of the oldest, if not the oldest in the country. And you have, over 300 students. So it's pretty comprehensive. There's a lot of people involved.
In fact, now we've got undergraduates, too. So we've got about 300 graduate students, 200 undergraduates.
Oh, okay.
And faculty of about 25. So it's very exciting to be working here.
One thing that I'd like to discuss with you today is sort of in regards to the conflict resolution and all the conflicts that seem to be going on in the world at the moment. In regards as in that article in the Times of Malta, and I'd like to speak a bit about the conflicts that seem to be going on between the West and Islam, and how you said a lot of the work that your institute does there, you look at the students and the researchers look at trying to find out the conditions that produce certain results, not just why are certain people being turning towards fanaticism behind Islam instead of just looking at that, trying to find out the conditions behind it, what's leading to that, and what are the causes of that. Maybe could you just elaborate a bit more?
Sure. I mean, the main differences between conflict resolution and say, international relations as a field of study, which is a nice field of study, too. but the reason I like to do conflict resolution is there are two reasons. One is that it's not just international. We're paying as much attention to conflicts at home as we are conflicts abroad, and we have plenty of them in the United States to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
But also because we take the view that you can't resolve these really difficult conflicts unless you understand what's driving them. And what's driving them is usually a combination of things happening in the system, you know, like in the socioeconomic system, in the cultural system, whatever, and also things that are going on in people's heads. So you have to be in a position to bring people from different fields together, sociology, psychology, anthropology, religious studies, and so forth, which we've done here, and get them all focused on dealing with what are the underlying causes of this conflict, and then what are the creative things that you can do to help resolve it once you understand what the causes are.
Right. And one of the things that if you look at it, some of these conflicts, I think people can easily say, look, the situation, it's intractable. There's no way we can get them to come together. And people try and look at it maybe from the perspective that it's religions, or their one religion isn't being able to compromise with another. And even, as I think if I quote you correctly, even from that article, you stress that beliefs alone are not responsible for conflicts, but the beliefs in the historical context are. So if religion is an essential part of people's identity and they feel their identity is threatened, they're going to rebel.
That's exactly right. That's right.
Right. That's right. And then one of the other things I also later on in that article and just in general, I think you had suggested trying to get a group to come in that can help maybe mediate or facilitate from that's possibly impartial. And one of the things when I was looking at that, I thought right away, well, is there anyone left that's impartial to help mediate or facilitate a discussion between groups. What comes to your mind when you think of someone or a group or organization that would be able to mediate or facilitate impartially?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, you know, for one thing, that's what we do. I mean, what we do at institutes like mine, and there are a couple of dozen of these places now around the world, is that we train people to be facilitators. That's one of the things we do. We show them different kinds of, different ways of facilitating. And also about this impartiality, of course, everybody's got opinions. If there's a person if there's a person who's really neutral about everything, they're dead, you know? So it isn't a question of not having opinions. It's a question of being able to get the confidence of both sides to a conflict, and then to behave in a way that is detached enough, but also empathetic enough with both sides, so that you can help them to solve their own problem. You know, the thing about facilitation is that facilitators don't come in and say, "This is how you should solve your problem. Listen to me. Here's my advice." We don't give advice. What we do is to say, "Let's get together and see if we can figure out what's really going on here. We know that you think it's A and that you think it's B, but if we have a little time to sit down together in private," and we do most of these things in private.
Right.
"And if we're not talking to the top leaders on each side and people who have to have a particular position and they don't feel they can ever change it, you know, they may not feel, at least not publicly, they can change it. But we're dealing with people who have the ear of influential people and who are able to be a little bit more flexible. Then what we found again and again and again is that people who you say this is an intractable conflict, what do you know? It turns out to be not so intractable, especially if people have gotten around to feeling that they're really not getting where they want to go by having the kind of doing the kind of fighting that they're doing. So
right. Mm-hmm.
So there may be people who just will not talk to you and you can't talk to them. I mean, there are such things, but most often you have a group and you say, well, they'll never talk to us. But if you make the right kind of approach, it turns out very often that some of them will be willing to talk to you. In fact, they may split between somebody who doesn't want to talk and people who do want to talk. And when it comes to things like a conflict with Islam, well, my goodness, there are people on both sides of that line. I mean, there are people from all religions, and some of them work here at our institute, mm-hmm. who are very gifted at trying to find common ground between people who are at odds with each other, but more than that, trying to look back into their history, discover where this conflict is really coming from and what kinds of other interests it's combined with. So that, for example, you find that religious conflict is most often not just a question of you believe this and I believe that. It's differences of belief that are hooked up to, connected into a conflict system by other kinds of differences, differences over social status, differences over who calls the shots economically.
Right.
Differences over who's trying to occupy whose country and that sort of thing.
Right. So it's sort of that digging deeper. And one thing, because we only have a little bit of time left, keeping this to the 10-minute minimum, I think history shows in the past that it actually works in having that multifaceted approach in even how you had said conflict resolution is not bargaining, and then also rethinking conflict. And one of the examples that I think I always refer to back to is how the U.S. and Russia, how they still had those lines of communication and how you stress keeping those lines of communication. Well, we're about to run out of time. Is there anything else that you would just like to add very quickly before we have to go?
Well, if you don't mind, a quick book plug. I've just finished a book called Reasons to Kill, Why Americans Choose War, which is coming out this week, as a matter of fact. And this is exactly what it's about. It's about the assumptions people make that we have to fight because there are no alternatives. But then when you start looking into it closely, you find once in a great while you have to fight. There is such a thing, I think, as a necessary war, but very, very rarely does that happen. Most of the time there are all sorts of opportunities to deal honorably with a conflict and more effectively with a conflict than by hitting the other guy on the head. And that's what this book is about, and I think it's an idea that's gaining in popularity even among people in government.
Excellent, and that book's going to be available at Amazon.com and other outlets as well?
It's already on Amazon.
Excellent. And you'll have to come back and tell us more about that after I I can do a review and we can discuss that further. Richard, I want to thank you so much for participating with ADRHub.com's podcast series. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, and keep up the good work, Jeff.
Thank you.